Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, and this is Civil War Radio. Can I tell you something? Got to tell you one thing. If you expect the freedom that you say is yours, prove to me that you deserve it. Help us to preserve it, or being free will just be words and nothing more.
Christmas is the time of year when giving is its own reward, and the staff at Iron Mike's Military Exchange in Canandaigua would like to thank you for your patronage and for supporting our military, Veterans Talk Show, and local charities. Have a hard-to-buy poor person on your list? Iron Mike's Military Exchange offers gift certificates, the gift that never gets returned. Plus, any purchase over $100 will receive a free set of custom dog tags to honor that loved one in your family. Iron Mike's Military Exchange has expanded to 5,000 square feet and has plenty of great gift ideas. A wide selection of winter gear in wool and Gore-Tex, plus military collectibles for the veteran in your life. Merry Christmas from everyone at Iron Mike's Military Exchange. Exchange, Route 332 in Canandaigua. And please remember, it's really all about the little baby born in a manger.
Tactical to practical. Cold weather clothing and gear at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Polypro cold weather masks, long underwear, gloves, boots, socks, caps, parkas, and field jackets on sale now.
The Military Exchange.
Morning, everyone. Canandaigua, 1310 a.m., three men, a mic, and a lady. It's our Thanksgiving weekend edition.
Where the snow falls softly, the lights glow brightly, and music fills the air.
My heart's so warm right now, Mike. I see the twinkling lights down Main Street right now. Thanks for that. So we've got myself, Mike Yarger, Armin Marinetti, and Tim Thornton. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Happy Thanksgiving. Are you guys recovering from a tryptophan-induced coma or what?
I haven't eaten any turkey yet, so.
Oh, really? What? It's Saturday.
Oh, we're pretending.
Oh, yes.
But you know, even the Tonight Show, you know, Tonight Show is recorded on in the daytime.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, we record at 9 a.m. Friday mornings, but it airs Saturday morning at 8. And it airs then again at 9. And it encores the second hour at 2 p.m. on Sundays. But now, Armin's show, Civil War Radio, encores 8 a.m. Sunday morning.
That's awesome.
So we're officially 4 hours a week.
Terrific. Wow.
On 1310 WOKR, three men and a microphone, and Civil War Radio.
And did you know we worked so hard? I didn't.
Oh, my goodness. So hard. I did. I absolutely did. So if anybody listened to last week's show, we talked about how cold it was in here and in Iron Mike's studio. And I have this amazing coat on. And I know listeners can't see it, but I want to describe it real quick because I know a lot of you were probably worried about how cold Tina was going to be. I'm sure it was on everybody's mind.
People made comments on Facebook. Mike made a comment, but someone else on one of your blogs or post made a comment.
Yes, isn't that awesome? So thanks, guys, for looking out for me. But I have this, it's like, what's this kind of green? It's like an olive green.
It's olive drab.
Olive drab. Kind of like the you see in fatigues. It's wool. It's super warm. I'm cozy today. So bring it on. I'm ready to go.
We're glad to hear you're comfortable.
Yeah, I'm sure my comfort is of the utmost importance to everybody.
Utmost importance. So are we opening up with Armin?
Okay, we
and
just
a Civil War segment?
Let's do it.
All right, though, this is Civil War Radio with Armin Marinetti and our two special co-hosts. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can.
Or does
say
that get
that.
Me
That's
in trouble?
Fine.
Special?
Well, I'm special. In more ways than one.
Armin Marinetti and Civil War Radio, and what grinds your gears today, Armin?
Well, before we get into what's grinding my gears, I just want to share some listeners' comments about our show from Saturday, November 18th.
Oh, cool.
And one person pointed out to me that I misspoke and used the term unearned income tax credit. There should be no un in front of earned. It's an earned income tax credit. And I used the proper term later on, but the initial term I said, I put a UN in front of it. Because you can't have unearned income tax credit. You have to have a job with wages to get the earned income tax credit.
But you can have unearned credit.
Income. You can have unearned income.
Like interest and
rent. is considered unearned income. Yes.
So royalties,
passive income is considered unearned.
Like Nolan's.
What?
That's unearned income.
No, the state gives them money. No, it's not income. It's a gift.
It's a gift.
It's a grant.
It's not. That's another common issue, too. When you get a gift from a family member up to about $14,000, give or take, that's not a taxable event. And it doesn't have to be a family member. I can gift you, Tim, up to $14,000 a year, and you, Tina, and you, Mike, and that's not a taxable event for any
of us. So what's $400,000? A blessing?
It's a big gift.
But I think Armin, Armin just committed to giving us each $14,000. To see, let's see how this works.
On the radio, didn't
you?
It was a hypothetical. So I just wanted to another comment that I received from some of our listeners was that we got to focus better on the message, what we're trying to talk about, because we do move around.
Mm-hmm.
And also later on, they were listening to when you guys were talking about shopping local.
Yeah.
They thought that was a good idea. And I've been doing that for the past three Christmas. I go down Main Street and I stop at the Goody Shop.
Oh, it's my favorite. Renaissance Goody Two Shop.
Yep. And I stop over at American Made. I like to go in there and give them some business as well. So that's just a little summary from listeners' comments.
Where do you buy your cigars?
Right here. Of course, I buy my cigars right here at the Military Exchange.
You mean Cobble Thornton Cigar and Smoke Shop?
That's it. That's the place. Yeah, they're good cigars. Yeah, for special occasions and all occasions, come buy your cigars here.
And on Small Business Saturday, 20% off on all cigar purchases.
Good.
That's huge.
Yeah.
So, it is huge. That's our Small Business Friday, or Business Saturday special.
And this is airing on Small Business Saturday, which is Saturday, November 25th. Real quick, you guys, following Black Friday, Small Business Saturday. So in 2016, there were 112 million shoppers nationwide that spent over $15.4 billion at small businesses on Small Business Saturday. So small businesses make up 98% of all businesses in New York State and employ more than half of the state's private sector workforce. So if that wasn't motivation enough, get out there on Saturday and support these local businesses. That's great.
Absolutely.
I agree. So now going back to what's my beef, I guess, for Civil War Radio.
Where's the beef?
As a reminder, we're going to be civil. We're going to talk about it like adults. We're not going to call names. We're civilized people. And war means that we can have a different opinion. We could take sides, but we're not going to duke it out. We're going to discuss it like adults. So, Tim, you and I were talking about all the different headlines, and I want to try to wrap it up and give it a major heading. Are we decivilizing as people? Are we going backwards?
We're fighting it. We're fighting it. It is definitely the battle right now for the future of our culture and whether we're going to be very bland, PC, wear flight suits, you know, all of the same color, no disagreements, no gender, no jokes. You know, things like that. Or are we going to keep it the way Americans have always been able to keep it and enjoy the melting pot that is the United States?
That's a key phrase that we'll come back to, the melting pot. Our young high school students, usually their freshman, sophomore year, have to take global history, global studies. And in that course of study, civilization is usually defined by having certain characteristics, such as a common language is one. A civilized people have a common language. They have common laws that everybody can understand and obey, agree to. Also, they usually have a higher education system. So people have a way to learn the language and to learn the laws. Organized religion is also a characteristic of a civilized people. And then the one there's an economy of some sort that would have enough left over to provide for some that are more needy than others. So a welfare system, if you will, take care of people who can't take care of themselves. So those are common characteristics that we teach our high school students that make a civilized society. So the question is, are we losing any of those, all of them, some of them? What do you guys think? What made me think of this, too, is that the headlines recently, it looks like people of celebrity and of authority have had taken liberties with people under them in either their job or in social arenas that they probably shouldn't have done.
So I think now we're starting to talk directly or indirectly about this whole sex abuse scandal. And it seems that there are, excuse me, to your point, Armand, celebrities and politicians now, people are coming out 15, 20, 30 years later and saying, hey, some inappropriate things occurred. Let's address them now. And it seems like every day there's somebody new that's getting caught up in this. So, yeah, what's everybody's thought?
And it's a partisan type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, we caught a Republican by the toe. Now we're going to catch a Democrat by the toe. And, you know, we're just going to keep finding these people by people complaining. And, you know, there's two things I see here where the complainers are coming out 40 years later.
Yeah.
When this person just really does start to get a little bit of, you know, that 15 minute of fame or stardom, notoriety, they get into that point of their career. Maybe they want to bring down a guy who's in his 80s just before he goes, so they can get even. And, of course, there's probably, like I always say, there's truth to everything. So, you know, you can never, the saying goes, and I love to live by these things, no one is as good or as bad as people say. But that also means that there's an element of truth in that. And my last part is we're expecting today, people today, to account for the morals of today that weren't in place 40 years ago.
And that's an excellent point. You know, and being the only woman in the room, of course, all of these, most of these accusers are women. I know there were a couple of males, you know, young boys or teenagers at the time. But is there merit to this? Was what occurred, what they're alleging occurred, inappropriate? 100%, absolutely. I do not dispute that. But where is the statute of limitations? If it wasn't important enough to bring up at the time of the infraction or you were afraid to or something like that, why does it suddenly come up now and it seems like we're just trying to destroy other people? I think we all in our past as human beings have done things we're not proud of, certainly probably not to that caliber or extent. But at some point, we need to leave the past in the past. I think we all try to better ourselves as good people and citizens. So at what point can we try to leave things in the past? And certainly in cases like rape and true abuse, I understand people are afraid to come out. They're afraid of retribution by the accuser or you know, something bad happening to them if they report it. But some of these things, I mean, it seems like it's not genuine. There's an ulterior motive as to why they're bringing these stories up again, and that's upsetting.
So not only is it the behavior that's upsetting and doesn't seem very civilized, but you mentioned the real key point. A lot of these allegations, people are taken for convictions. Whatever happened to the due process of law where we're innocent to proven guilty? Now we're talking about allegations from 15 to 30 or more years ago, and everybody, I heard a gentleman the other day, he knows so-and-so's guilty. I just know he's guilty. You can hear it in his voice. And I'm going, boy, what wisdom he must have. So do we give people the chance to, I shouldn't say prove your innocence because that's not the proper way, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Somebody's supposed to prove your guilt.
Right.
You're assumed innocent till proven guilty.
Right.
They're supposed to, but there's always the accusation. So as soon as that hits, right, then you have to prove your innocence. You know, if someone calls me up and they say, hey, you know, you didn't pay us in August. Well, are you sure? Well, yeah, and could you look through all your paperwork and prove us right? Sure, I got an hour to do that. But that's exactly what happens. If they call you up and say, hey, you didn't pay, now I got to go through and prove I did.
And after the point an allegation is made, especially criminally, your name has already been dragged through the mud. So even at the end of this long, arduous process, if you are found to be innocent, your name already has this mark on it. There are people that have already made a judgment upon you based on an allegation that could be completely false.
Right.
So it is. It's disappointing. And although, you know, I stand behind these women and gentlemen that say they were wronged and inappropriate things happened, absolutely. But I do think as victims, we need to stand up, and I say we being a woman, and take some responsibility for ourselves and say if something's going wrong, I do need to report this in the here and now and take care of it. And understandably, sometimes that can't happen. I get it. But it seems like that's the norm more than the exception lately in the media. So, it's worrisome. I mean, I think just about anybody you could dig up dirt on. And is that what society's come to now? We're just going to go through everybody's skeletons and throw them out for society to judge. I don't know. I think it's unfair.
Again, this is why people don't run for office. You want a good man or a good woman to run for office, and we expect them to be so bland, so perfectly squeaky clean, that nothing has ever happened to them or they've done anything to get to where they are to upset the card at all, that they can run politically for office without any kind of scandal. And yet, who is that person?
Right.
So if I was a person with any kind of, you know, skeleton in the closet, would I really run for public office so people could throw all that stuff out there and then ruin you?
And we say skeletons, too. What we hear on the media now is allegations of, you know, groping or inappropriate touching or, in some cases, rape. That's huge, and that is inappropriate. But you could go back to, you know, somebody didn't pay their taxes, or you had a dispute with your neighbor, or, you know, you got you got charged with something or a misdemeanor. You know, it comes to a time of minutia. Everybody's made mistakes. Nobody's perfect. I think we all need to accept that and accept people for who they are today. Granted, they're not committing criminal acts now or haven't, done things in the past that are huge, like rape or murder or, you know, the big things.
Yeah, now we're here into the holiday season. Hopefully we'll be able to spend some time with our families and our friends. And I noticed a trend that's connected to this decivilization thought. Professors, I'm going to mention the gentleman's name because he's usually on Fox as a news contributor. His name is Larry Sabato, who is a professor at the University of Virginia. I saw an article in the morning paper that how do you avoid those conversations at the holiday dinner table that might upset others? And again, I think what we should do as civilized people is take that challenge on in a polite, appropriate way. Because when we stop talking about the big two, politics and religion, I think we hurt our civilized society.
Have you ever been to an Irish household?
Yes. Fun.
It'll just turn into a brawl, and it will be a physical brawl after all the words are said. I mean, I'm not a big fan of going someplace and not being able to speak my mind. At the same time, I would rather go to a family function and then put out 10 things. Look, we're not going to do this.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about this because it's all about us just enjoying a meal together. But I guarantee you, someone will blow it. They do it every year. That one person shows up. They're ticked off, and they're dragging it into the house, into someone else's house. And then you're stuck with that person. Can you tell I'm antisocial?
I mean, as long as you don't open the door for anybody, you're okay.
So you saw my post about male etiquette.
I heard about it.
Right. I've felt this way ever since I was a wee lad sitting at the knee of a Vietnam combat vet staff sergeant who was a great mentor in the military police. And he said to me once, he says, you know, I don't understand it. Why would a man hold a door for another able-bodied man? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, I was going into this, probably a bar, and a guy held the door for him and then did that, you know, you take your right hand and you cross it in front of your chest and you open your palm up towards the door, and the guy goes, enchanté. So my staff sergeant enchanté'd him in the jaw and left him laying in the parking lot.
I was going to say, did he know he's going into the right bar?
Maybe that was the problem.
That's a thought.
That sounds good. I like that. So I've always thought about it, and then lately, you know, I use a cane. So, and I don't use a cane all the time, but I use it when I know I'm going to be walking distance. It helps with my back and my knees. But I'm for sure not using a walker. I'm not shaking while I'm walking up to the door. So if I'm more than 10 feet away and you're holding the door for me so it's painfully obvious that you're stopping your day to hold the door for me, I've still got one good hand that I can open a door with. And now I have to feel like rushed to step up faster so that I can get to the door for some grown man to what, now belly up past me, so now I got to squeeze past him to get into the building? I don't want any of that attention. And I got to tell you, I'm not really trying to speak from a handicapped persona, but handicapped people don't want your help. There's times that obviously they need it. That's why they have ramps and they have wider doors and they have things like that. But the truth is, you don't want to be emasculated. You want to be able to just walk up, open the door like a normal guy. And so that happened to me on the way into the restaurant. And then the whole time I'm sitting there, I thought I got a little bit extra attention. It was, are you okay, honey? Is everything good? Everything okay? Another waitress comes by. Is everything good? Are you okay?
Do you think maybe you were hypersensitive to it, though, because you had just experienced something that kind of turned that on in your mind? You
well, know? I only put all this thought together later.
Okay.
So, I mean, really, the first guy, whatever, used to that guy, you know, and then the four or five times being asked if I'm okay, I'm like, okay, that's fine, whatever. You know, they're just being really friendly. They want good customer reviews, and they're good to what they're doing, right? Mm-hmm. The food was good. The service was good. Then on the way out, there's like three guys. Two of them are like as tall as NBA basketball stars, right? But they're walking and joking and laughing, so they're dragging their feet, and I'm like, oh, my God, hurry up and go through the door. I got to go to work. Well, they get to the door, and one of them turns around and says, hey, and does the enchanté. And I'm like, I look at him up, and I go, I'm not a girl. You can go right ahead. And he goes, oh, I know you're not a girl. I go, then go. So they close their little wall and walk through the parking lot. I'm sure they had something to say, and I ignored it and just got in my truck and left. Then I get to the store, and you saw I typed up this post. Mm-hmm. And I even had the cool cartoons, which somebody out there thinks the way I do, or those cartoons wouldn't exist, right? The old guy with the walker didn't want the help. And the other guy doesn't understand why someone's holding the door for him, or that cartoon wouldn't exist. And I get to the store, and I'm typing it up, and I'm happy with my little response back. And then it gets warm, so I take my coat off. And out pops the wooden hanger from the closet at home. So did they just think I was, like, special? Like, are you okay? Are you sure okay? Did you need help getting in the door?
Your spine protruding from the back of your coat.
The spine or the coat hanger, right? Sticking out like I'm some kind of walking moron.
Would you have felt differently if it were a woman that had just waited and opened the door for you? Because I'm guilty of that.
Does that ever happen, though?
Oh, I mean, I do it. I do it all the time. Like, if I see that there are people a few steps behind me, able-bodied or not, I'll just stop and hold the door because I think it's the polite thing to do.
A few steps, yes, like I did for Armin today. As we were walking into the building, it would have been rude to let the door slam right where his nose would have been, right? That makes sense. Mm-hmm. But 10 feet, where you're clearly stopping your day and I'm not even at your day yet?
I think people are just trying to be nice. I really
do. You got to remember, we're close to Canada, right? And Canadians are known for their kindness and hospitality.
You're gonna blame it on Canada.
No, I'm not blaming it on Canada.
Well, exactly, but we're not in Canada where people are rude and obnoxious.
But we're influenced by them. We're so close to them.
Oh, so not true.
We're influenced by them. And I'm telling you,
not true.
I when I was growing up, my dad would hold the door for anybody, and I learned from him. It didn't matter whether it was a man, woman, child. If you know, he had the opportunity, he'd hold the door for them. And if they were 15 to 50 feet out in the parking lot, he'd still stand there, hold the door. He didn't expect them to rush up to the door.
Mm-hmm.
He'd stay there as long as necessary.
Holding the door open.
People walk through.
In the middle of winter, letting all the heat out.
Well, okay. So
doesn't
he
matter
kept the door
in here,
closed until they approached the door. Oh. Then he'd open it for them in the middle of winter.
Can I make a suggestion? So if this situation arises again, and I'm the guy to hold the door, I'm going to politely ask the person behind me, would you like me to get the door for you? And if they say no, I won't.
I got it.
If they say yes.
That's what I told the first guy. So
yeah.
I said, I got it.
Okay.
But he still stood there.
Right.
And then they want you to belly past him. I don't want that attention. It's not needed.
Maybe he just wanted to be close to you, Tim.
Well, there again, wrong bar. Right? Wrong bar, guys. Sorry.
So let me ask you guys real quick, and I don't want to get too far off on this. For women, do you guys open the door for your wife, your significant other, and do you open the car door? Will you go over to the passenger side and always open their door?
I do. Now, I'd like to tell you a little story about that.
All right, but just before that, Armin said yes, Mike said yes. Tim, you're saying no.
No, we've been married 10 years. She knows how to get out of the door.
So you guys are newlyweds, yeah.
I run down to the car. She's going to kill me for saying this. And I'll help her with the groceries if there's something in the groceries that I need.
Oh, Tim.
Or I'll take the food over the fence so the dogs don't get out. Maybe I'll hold the door if she's really struggling.
Oh,
yeah, sure.
Where's chivalry gone? There is...
Well,
you know, it's disappointing.
In public, I'll do it. I mean, I'll hold it.
But
I mean, honestly, and I know Mike's going to stab me in the back, and I'm going to send out a private investigator to prove him wrong. But do you really run over to the other side of the car and open the door for her?
I do. And I'll tell you
what. Oh, I knew he would.
Okay, I got to get into this story. Back when I was in high school, we had a senior ball, and my date was dressed beautifully in this gown, but it's the middle of winter. Okay, and I borrowed my sister's orange duster, so I had a car to drive to take her. We went down to the Colonial Inn for dinner. There's snow and ice all around there. I park the car. I hop out to go over to her side of the car to open the door to help her out. She didn't wait for me. She opened the door herself, started to get out, and she slipped on the ice.
Oh, no.
And she ruined her dress. And I felt so bad. It was like, you know, I was trying to get over there as fast as I could,
right.
But it was slippery. It was icy. And I knew it. So I had to take my time getting over there. And I guess she just couldn't wait. So we ended up not going to the dance.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
we went the whole night.
Well, she kind of, you know, bruised herself
mm-hmm.
and got a little hurt and like that. So we ended up, you know, going
so
back.
So you have PTPDS.
Right, exactly.
Post-traumatic prom dress.
That's right. So because of that, I always try to make sure.
I want to bring up another thing.
Okay.
All right, what about the opposite spouse of the same sex? See, you guys, we talk about being PC. We talk about being modern. But we really don't mean it. I don't know about all of us here.
Are you talking about same-sex couples? I'm confused.
Exactly.
Oh, I can't speak to that.
So if some person is, I'll just say two women. You got two women.
Okay.
And one of them is, I don't know what to say there. So I'm trying to be a little bit PC.
Well, I mean,
so
maybe where
you got
going...
two, right? And one of them is...
You're talking about roles.
Roles,
and
okay.
And a couple people take on roles.
Roles. And one's more of the...
More masculine or more feminine.
There you go. Thank you for helping me through
sure.
that. They don't want you to hold the door for their woman. That's their job. But you see them as two ladies, and you go, oh, let me get that for you, ladies. And now you're emasculating the other one as you're emasculating the handicapped male.
I don't think
And women today don't – They yes, I know. We want women to think, okay, you should appreciate that I'm being chivalrous. But also, there's a whole lot of Gloria Steinem-type people – who are offended that you think it's your job to hold a 3-pound door of pressure open for them.
That's
and they
happens.
Don't want it, but it's unwanted.
Here's the thing. I think like
unless they have a handful of packages or it's obvious they can't get through the door, I'm still saying hold the door for women. I'm still saying hold the door for someone who's obviously handicapped enough, right? But I think at some point you should leave it alone. My dad gave me advice like this. We like to talk about our dads.
Sure.
I held the door open for a guy once while I was holding the family groceries. It was like Star Market or something. I don't remember. It was someplace. Well, because I did that, as that guy passed, something caught onto the paper bag and our groceries went all over the floor.
So you've had bad experiences.
I had a PT paper bag issue, and my dad looked at me, he goes, why don't you look out for yourself and take care of what you got to take care of? So in other words, dropping all the family groceries because I was trying to be a gentleman to what? Another guy? Come on.
Well, I'm going to respectfully disagree on that. I mean, I think we're overthinking it. I think there's nothing wrong with being polite. I don't care if there's a man, a woman, able-bodied or not behind me. If you're right there, I'm going to open the door. If you don't want me to open the door, I apologize. I'd rather do that than have the door slam in your face and then you think I wasn't being considerate.
Well, there's the one-foot rule.
And then I'd help you pick up your groceries.
Which nobody did. Nice. That guy did not do that.
But you were the bigger person, Tim. You did the right thing. The other person didn't. I mean, you can sleep at night.
Right, you can move on now.
Yeah.
We're here to help.
Right, your support group.
Can I make one word of mouth mention? This came to me, and I want to say on Sunday, this weekend, Thanksgiving is over. You might be all cooked out. So if you want a good breakfast at an affordable price, over at the American Legion on North Main Street, we're having a breakfast going from 8:30 to 11:30. All you can eat for $8, scrambled eggs, bacon, some type of English muffin,
wow.
Toast, coffee, juice, home fries. So pancakes, French toast, come join us. We'd use that to raise money for the Sons of the American Legion.
$8?
$8, all you can eat.
That's incredible.
Right. All you can eat.
All you can eat.
Really?
Yeah. It's great. Yep.
The day after, or a couple days after Thanksgiving.
Oh, he caught
you've already stuffed yourself.
Yeah.
Now we're going to give you an all-you-can-eat buffet.
How perfect is that, though? For the folks traveling back home or something, you want to get a quick breakfast on your way out? That's ideal.
That's a quick breakfast? All you can eat? That's
well,
never
I don't know breakfast. That people normally take that as a challenge.
Oh, it's a challenge.
It's on.
I'm calling up Ron. And me and Ronnie will show up at this breakfast, and we'll make you poor.
8:30 Sunday morning. I forgot the date. What is Sunday's
That'll
date?
That'll be the 26th.
The 26th.
I should plug Golden Corral did their Veterans Day meal, not on Saturday, but on the following Monday, which I normally didn't like. I drove by there one time, and it said, no, it's not on Veterans Day. It's the following Monday. And I'm like, that's just a gimmick. Well, I was so wrong. So I called up Ronnie. We went up there. So the DAV, Disabled American Veterans, are all over this thing, in uniform, handing out literature, giving you little tiny desktop flags. Even, you know, like there's a guy there if you want to talk about your benefits or how you can get help or anything. There were service dogs all over the restaurant. Big labs laying on the ground, probably stuffed from people sneaking them food under the table.
Love it.
There was a bunch of them, right? A melting pot of everybody in Rochester, every color, every place of living, every standard you could think of was there. Cowboy hats. One guy, I love this guy. He was an older man, looked like an Italian to me, and he had on this silk tour jacket from Korea with the dragons on the sleeve and his Korean War patches on the back and the front. And he could still fit it. And he's wearing it, and you know he's doing it because he wants you to know he belongs here amongst this huge restaurant filled with all these veterans, right? And then Ronnie and I ate at least 4 steaks each. Steaks? Did you want another steak, sir?
Wow.
Yes. Could I have yet another steak? Of course you can. How nice. See, now, you think that we can't break the Legion?
Now, forget I said anything.
We're ready.
So, yeah, moral of that story.
We'll let you know.
Tim to an all-you-can-eat buffet.
That's
and
right.
Guys hold doors for your girls.
That's right.
You know, I got to tell you, I met my match, though. It was at the Super Dynasty up in Henrietta. And I went up there. It's the one by in Topps Plaza on Jefferson Road.
Oh, isn't it Grand Buffet or something?
That's it, Grand Buffet. My favorite place to eat. I have a whole thing about being seated where I've yet to get the true place to be seated. I still haven't reached that level yet. But there's a bad place where troublemakers go. And then there's the great place, which I almost went to, but my wife said, oh, no, Tim likes to eat over here all the time. No, I've been waiting to get the other special spot. Mm. But the owner has not yet. He was going to give it to me, but Kim shooed him off. Now I'm never going to get it. So I go to the mediocre spot, which is great. It's better than the bad spot. That's a whole other thing. But while I was in there years ago, there was a guy. He had to have been about 6 foot five if he wasn't bigger. He had to be 450 pounds of pure Anglo-Saxon beef. He had a rumpus on him that was the size of a reclining chair.
Why were you looking at his rumpus?
Because it was in my way. I couldn't even get near the rice or the chow mein or anything.
Tim had to hold the door.
I'm nervous. Well, I have a door thing that I do there. So he puts three plates out in front of him. His arm length is so long that he can cover the entire buffet table. You can't get nothing. I went to reach in, and he went, rawr, rawr, rawr. And I went, whoa.
No.
And I realized there was a cannibal inside this huge man, and I'm not going to lose my hand. Just saying. But so on the way out, I always wait till I catch the thing, and there's usually a guy trying to get in, and I'll briefly, and this is how I do it, I'll hold the door in front of me and wait for him to touch the door, and then I step away.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's not me holding the door and letting him belly squeeze by. But that's the way a man does it. But anyways, I always say, don't worry, I saved something for you. And they always find that funny.
Since we're off topic, I'm going to add, this is going way back, so I don't think I'm going to offend anybody. But I'm going to take
a chance. Like 40 years claws back?
35 plus.
All right.
But there was a place in town of Canandaigua that had an all-you-can-eat buffet. And I actually saw the owner of this place say to a person about on their fifth or sixth time to the trough, no more for you.
Oh.
So I was there as a customer, and I heard that, no more for you.
Yeah, I remember when that happened to me.
Mike looks really embarrassed right now.
Seriously, I mean, I come from a large family, and we tend to eat fast. And we ate fast because if your plate was clean, you could get seconds. And we usually didn't have enough for everybody to have seconds. So I learned to eat fast, and I learned to eat a lot. So we used to have competitions. I have five brothers, and every time around Christmas time, all the brothers go out on the wife shopping trip, okay? But it's really not a wife shopping trip. I mean, we might hit Walmart, or we might hit some store or whatever, but the real purpose of us getting together is spending time with our siblings,
I love it. And you go with the girls who did want to shop.
No, we don't go with the girls. No.
You go separately?
We're shopping for our wives, allegedly.
Oh, so the girls don't go. You're going to shop for them.
Right, exactly.
I like it equally.
Right, so
on the last day before Christmas.
We gather at one of the local establishments, and then we do a walking tour from one establishment to the next.
It's called a bar crawl, Mike.
Called a bar crawl, that's right.
You fooled nobody.
Wally's has to be, I mean, that's a mandatory stop on this bar crawl. And Wally's, if anybody knows Wally's, they have the best chicken wings of anywhere.
I heard they had the best burgers. I went, and I don't mean to take it off again, I went to Wally's for the very first time with a couple girlfriends last week. Never been there in all the time living in Canandaigua. I loved it. What a
Wally
neat place.
Burger you had?
I didn't. We were in there late, so we just went in there for a couple libations.
Okay.
But no, there was the big sign for the Wally Burger, and a couple of my friends are like, oh, you need to go back for lunch. You need to get a Wally Burger. So,
The Wally Burger actually won, like, first place in the New York State Fair for food, you know, burgers or whatever. So they're well known too, but I go for the chicken wings. So we had a competition among the brothers the brothers-in-law. So there's probably about 10 or so of us around the table, and we're trying to see who can eat the most chicken wings. So I think we started out with like 150 chicken wings, which, I mean, come on, that's only 15 per person. So that's
so
not
10
that
guys.
Much,
okay.
Right? So we started out with that, and we went through those pretty quickly. So we ordered another 150. Okay, and we're working on that. And some of the brothers are starting to drop off, you know, 18, 20, 22, 25. Finally, it's down to me and one of the brother-in-laws. And we're up to 30.
I can see you guys sitting across the bar from each other, right? Eyes locked.
That's right. That's right.
Were they hot?
30.
Hot wings?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oof.
35, 36, 37, 38 was my limit. And he stopped at 37.
Well, so, ladies and gentlemen, we have a regular Kobayashi in the house over here.
I have the trophy from that.
So do you dip the wings in, like, you know, water or something to make, you know, how in the eating competitions, like the hot dog competitions,
right.
You know, Joey Chestnut and those guys? Well,
right.
You know, I could just see you guys going all at it.
So, we need to have a competition. I have won a fajita eating contest.
No, my days
do you remember down there?
Eating are long gone.
Cohocton or Bristol?
No longer competitive eating contest.
There was a restaurant. They
Sorry,
had that
Tim,
big steak.
You missed out.
All the if you could eat this steak, you got it for free.
Okay.
I did it.
Wow.
I can. I got no problem with this. I dare
like
you.
I challenge you.
Wow.
I'm telling you, my days of competitive eating are over.
You had one day.
No, that was years of competitive eating.
Well, guys, let me just tell you, if we were to have a macaroni and cheese competitive eating contest, I would destroy all of you.
Why do women like macaroni and cheese? The wife loves mac and cheese.
Love it.
Why
don't
the Rocky
want
theme
it.
Keep rolling through my head? You know,
I want to wear this drab olive green coat as I'm running up the steps.
All right, well, that's Civil War Radio with Armin Marinetti, our two co-hosts, Mike Yarger, Tina Bloom, myself, Corporal Tim Thornton. And when we come back, we're going to come back with the real news. First in news, three men and a microphone.
And a lady.
And a lady. That
Happy
girl.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That girl. That's right.
That's right. It's already over. I'm forgetting.
So did Tim. I'm trying to keep you guys on track.
Stay tuned, and we'll be right back with hour two of Three Men and a Microphone, WOKR, Canandaigua, 1310, first in local news, right after these messages.
Honey, how many times do I have to move your old army bag? It's taking up too much room in the closet.
It's a duffel bag. It's full of my old uniforms.
And are you going to wear them again?
Yeah, maybe. Someday.
Uh-huh. And what size do you wear now?
Whatever.
Honey, why don't you take them to Military Mike's? You're certainly there enough.
It's Iron Mike's, and at least he doesn't make comments about my weight.
Bring your old military gear down to Iron Mike's Military Exchange. They'll turn your old uniforms, gear, and military collectibles into cash. So if you drug it back from overseas and it doesn't fit your motif, we want it. Iron Mike's wants your Class A's, Alphas, Hammies, Fatigues, Utilities, Digis. We want your Deuce gear, Molly gear, Alice gear, Web gear. Bring in your Poly Pros, new boots, used boots. Heck, if it's green, camouflaged, or digital, we want it. Give it a good home, used, pre-enjoyed. Iron Mike's has a bin for it. Iron Mike's buys, sells, and trades. Iron Mike's Military Exchange, located in Canandaigua, New York. Check out all their newly acquired items at militaryexchange.co.
Clerico, can I get a drink? Sumatra, pull down the shades. Duro, lock the door. We're gonna party. Can you hear me? How long I've been up? Welcome! Enlisted in officers, WMs and Devil Dogs. I'm Corporal Tim Thornton, your host for tonight. This is the DD214 and Laurel Cigar Lounge. Fresh from the Dominican Republic, Hickory Mono Cigars. Here at the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Smoking lamp is out.
What's the matter, Cupcake? Winter's here, and all you have to look forward to is yellow snow. That Einstein you're dating wants to know where the white goes when the snow melts. Thinking of all the fun you'll have schlepping home at 20 miles an hour? Car won't start, mud, slush, salt, traffic accidents, shoveling, brushing, and wading through a snowdrift just to check the mail? Your boots leak and you only have one glove and it's stuck? Frozen wipers, locks, fingers, toes, and noses. Hey, at Iron Mike's, the Military Exchange, we agree. Winter sucks. So let us help
U-Bear, the frozen tundra that is upstate New York. The military exchange has everything you'll ever need to kick the crap out of old man winter. Warm hats, caps, gloves, socks, long underwear, Polypro, thermal, wiki, and super wiki. Gore-Tex insulates, wool, jackets, parkas, pants, and boots. There's lots of fun things to do in the snow, but none of it's fun unless you gear up at Iron Mike's The Military Exchange in Canandaigua, New York. Stop in and see Corporal Thornton. He'll even show you how to write your name in the snow.
Great googly moogly.
Welcome back to the Military Exchange, and I'm your host, Corporal Tim Thornton. Thanksgiving has always been whatever America needed it to be. At this point, most of us know the story of Thanksgiving. That we were taught in grade school isn't exactly accurate. Pilgrims and Native Americans probably didn't share a turkey across a picnic table, and because European supplies were all but exhausted by the time the festival began, a festival in which few pilgrims would likely have been caught giving thanks, there wasn't any pie or any other kinds of dessert. We know they ate five deer and that many of the dishes were prepared using native spices and in traditional native ways. But beyond that, we don't know much about what was on the menu back in 1621. The Thanksgiving tradition persisted over the years. In 1789, George Washington issued the first ever Thanksgiving holiday proclamation from an American government, in which he asked the citizens of our nation to be thankful for the resolution of the American Revolution and the ratification of the Constitution. During their presidencies, John Adams and James Madison both called for days of Thanksgiving as well, though each didn't fall on the same date. Eventually, states would come to adopt the idea of designating a holiday for giving thanks, though each celebrated slightly differently. Then, in 1827, Sarah Josepha Hale started a campaign to launch a nationwide day of thanks. Hale was a prominent woman who had gained notoriety as an author. Among the works credited to her is the famous poem, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and She Was Also No Pushover. For 36 long years, Sarah Josepha Hale continued a letter-writing campaign to governors, senators, presidents, and any other politician she thought might be able to aid her quest to launch the holiday of Thanksgiving. She wrote editorials and spoke publicly about the holiday she believed would benefit her nation. And finally, at the height of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln heeded her request. In 1863, Abraham Lincoln addressed the warring nation with his wishes regarding the new holiday. He asked that the nation commend to his tender care those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife, and to heal the wounds of the nation. Henceforth, Lincoln proclaimed, America would give thanks for all we have been blessed with on the final Thursday of November. 76 years later, Franklin D. Roosevelt made another change to what Americans call Thanksgiving when he moved it back a week to encourage early Christmas shopping. His plan hoped to stimulate the Depression-era economy. It was poorly received, and two short years later, the date was moved back to the fourth Thursday of the month. These milestones certainly don't reflect the breadth of the holiday's history, nor do they pay homage to the people that died in the events surrounding these interactions. If one seeks to tie the holiday to bloodshed, look no further than the Native Americans who lost their lives to war or disease throughout the settlement of our nation. The American colonists who died in the fight to win independence from Britain. The Union and Confederate soldiers who died on both sides of the Mason-Dixon line for their country, or the starving Americans that saw the holiday moved during the Depression. The point of Thanksgiving isn't to look down on those who came before us or the mistakes of their generation, nor is it to pass judgment for their transgressions, as many do on holidays like Columbus Day. Thanksgiving, as we know it, is a uniquely American tradition, not just because its roots can be traced to our earliest Native and Western populations, not just because it was celebrated during the birth of our nation, not just because it was adopted as a unifying gesture for our fissured country, but because of all of that and more, Thanksgiving's roots are far deeper entrenched in who we are as a people than a simple story about pilgrims. The basis of the holiday is intrinsic to the American spirit. It's a day where no matter how far we've come, how far we have left to go, we can take a moment to be thankful for the good in our circumstances. The holiday has shifted in date and delivery, adjusting to best suit the needs of our nation. But it's always been about gratitude. We born into this generation of Americans have a higher standard of living, more information at our fingertips, better educational institutions, and greater opportunities than any generation that has come before us. The computer or phone you're reading this article on, or you're listening to on a podcast, or through the airwaves of old-fashioned radio, is a perfect representation of the veritable lottery we won by being born after polio and during the age of Netflix. Even amid global conflict, domestic unrest, political upheaval, and yet another Spider-Man reboot, we Americans have a lot to be thankful for. While on the topic, I'd like to drag your eyes through a paragraph full of my own gratitude. Thank you to the readers of the Military Exchange blog who have welcomed my articles and even taken time out of your days to converse with me in the comments. Thank you to the editorial team for giving me a chance to write for a site I've spent so long admiring, and for treating me like a peer, even though I'm in constant awe of the sacrifices and heroism that this site contributors have among their long list of accomplishments. Thanks to the folks on Facebook that share my articles because they think they're good or because they think I'm a fascist. I still appreciate the exposure. And to my friends and family who supported me over the past year, as I choose to walk away from the corporate security of my 9-to-5 in order to pursue my dream of writing articles about zombies and spy satellites and opening and pushing military surplus at its very best. Most of all, thank you to my beautiful wife, Kimberly. America has so much to be thankful for, perhaps we most of all, so let's express that gratitude today without cynicism. Let's set aside political contempt and cultural misunderstandings and simply agree that no matter how far we've come or how far we still have left to go, we are all fortunate to be born American at such an incredible time. Be thankful for the sacrifices of others. Be thankful for the support of those close to you. Be thankful for one another. And happy Thanksgiving. While on topic, I'd like to drag your eyes through a paragraph full of my own gratitude. Thank you to the listeners of the Military Exchange Talk Show who have welcomed my opinion and some of my written articles that we've posted on Facebook. And for the customers that come into the store, the Military Exchange in Canandaigua, and make comments about my show and the articles and the opinions that we've shared, and converse with me inside the store on a one-to-one, peer-to-peer basis, which I appreciate so much. And I'm very grateful for the customers that come into the store that help me make a living by being loyal and spending their money here. And hopefully I'm giving them an American-made quality product or a Chinese alternate. But mostly, we deal in American-made. But I want to say, when we do have a conversation other than just products, when I talk to you about hunting and you're a doctor, when I talk to you about politics and I find out that you're a world-class investor, or I find out that you own a million-dollar business or more, or when we talk simple strategy and maybe hunting and some funny anecdotes, and I find out that you're a true killer, a guy who's fought for our country and served overseas in countless campaigns in Iraq and Afghanistan or Korea, Vietnam, and God bless, even the World War II guys still come in the door. Guy came in today and complained about Hitler probably living a good life in Argentina. Well, God bless him, because it was cool that I got to have that conversation with him today. And I want to thank my wife, Kimberly, who 11 years ago we met, and that's what I believe saved me. I don't believe that I could have kept going on single and alone, living in a townhouse. Yes. Was I suffering at that point? No, but I had suffered the 15 years prior to that. And my time in the service was good, but was never easy. But my wife made a huge difference, always backing me up. When I want to go to a flea market and be in Buffalo by 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to push a cart around with a flashlight, my wife's right by my side. As we speak, she just finished refurbishing over a dozen Kevlar helmets for a municipality that we made a contract with. That's my wife. She has her own business. It's a great business. She's super skilled, super qualified. She doesn't need me at all. She does all of that full time, takes care of the house, and gives up 1 to 2 days or more a week to help me run my business. For that, I'm very grateful for having a family that's always believed in the American way, for a mom who's been absolutely the best business brain I could ever rely on, and a great mom who I know loves me, a dad who's always shown me the American way, who absolutely loves being on the right side of the law and has shown that to me all my life, in a family where the Irish can go in any direction. Some are law-abiding, some aren't. For some reason, our genetics allow us to split that hair right down the middle. Well, my dad and myself have always tried to stay to the right side of the law. And he's always been my best friend. When the chips are down, when I gotta have a serious conversation, he'll put that remote down, he'll pull out that wallet, he'll grab me by the back of the neck and say, listen to me, this is what you're gonna do. Sometimes I'm called meathead, and sometimes I get that scuff on the back of the head with the palm of his hand. That's okay. Even at 55, I kind of like it. I've had a good life. It hasn't been easy. But I've had good fortune and good fortune in business. And the people that I'm in business with, I'm very grateful for them to be my partners. And you know who you are. And I do appreciate you. So in all my little attempts to do the crazy things that I do in here, selling cigars in a surplus store, selling espresso and good coffee in a surplus store, and now having a little sidewalk cafe out front where you can sit, smoke a quality cigar, or actually buy an MRE from our cafe and eat. I mean, that's eccentric. But yet, people have supported me in these crazy ideas. And I, in turn, want to say how thankful I am to you. For my buddies and my friends that I served with in the military, 11 years, 3 different branches, Army, a little bit in the National Guard, a lot in the Reserve, and the Marine Corps, thank you. My life was molded by steel on steel. Iron sharpens iron, and that's what makes us. I just say simply, I'm grateful. Welcome to Canandaigua 1310 WOKR, and this is Civil War Radio. Can I tell you something? Gotta tell you one thing. You expect the freedom that you say
help us to preserve, or being free will just be words and nothing more. That you say is yours.